This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central.
Sure, that was a lot of energy.
It was.
You came back with a lot of energy.
I'm trying. I'm trying to get a little bit of personality. You're always the personality. I need to try and just do a little bit more.
I like it.
Because, of course, you are winding down in age. And, No, I'm just a joke. Just a joke. Yes, it was Phoebe's birthday yesterday. She is 25 again. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Okay, let's get back into this segment. So, very, very quickly, if you've never been or never heard the show or never been part of the show before, are you a future CEO? If the answer to that question is yes, then this is the show for you. We talk all things entrepreneurship. We talk all things business. We talk all things careers. Because really, what does it mean to be a future CEO? Well, sometimes you are in a business and you want to fast track your career. Sometimes you start a business and you need to fast track its growth. This is the show for you.
And this is the Startup Half Hour.
And this is the Startup Half Hour. Ruby, who do we have in studio with us?
Jacques Dubrain, MD at Flem, am I correct?
Flem.
Flem.
It's F-L-U-M-E, so that's Flume.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your business. Excuse me, profoundly.
No, that's fine. Yeah, we specialize in pharmaceuticals for Flem. No, I'm just kidding. We're a digital marketing agency.
Okay.
So we consider ourselves a 360 online advertising agency, which does anything from web development, SEO, production for campaigns, creative, social media, online media buying, which includes all your banner ads, your search engine marketing, etc.
Speaking about birthdays, it was your third birthday the other day. Is that correct? Am I right?
1st of February. Yeah.
1st of February. Well, happy birthday.
Thank
happy
you.
Happy anniversary. Happy founder's anniversary.
Thank you.
3 years is you're not quite out of the startup phase yet. We have to get a little further than that. How have you been finding the journey?
Yeah, and that's exactly it. It's a journey.
Okay.
Because every year, or you start off with every day and then you work into every month and then every year, is a journey in itself. And it's been absolutely fantastic. We started on the 1st of Feb 2013, and today we're sitting with 16 employees, some really good clients, some nice big corporates, and really getting into that phase of we're now a business. Mm. You know, so you're finding yourself not doing the fun stuff anymore. You're now starting to have to manage people.
Sure.
And run a business and make decisions.
Lots of
on
governance issues.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're kind of entering that phase.
Now, are you scared that you're going to lose some of what makes Flume what it really is as a result of that? Or how are you managing that transition?
Yeah, so I think it's important that my business partner and I, Ruan is his name, really stick close together. Because he came from the JSC. He's quite a smart sort of stats guy.
Okay.
And I'm the creative.
I understand he's a
stats guy.
CA, right?
Yeah, he's got his CFA level 3. So
okay,
I don't know
okay.
what that means.
Apparently he's smart. Right?
Apparently it means you can do stuff with numbers. But
yeah.
So you know him, very analytical, knows how to run a business. Myself from the creative side, you know. Coming together from two different worlds, we started with something quite unique.
Yeah.
And you know, for us just to stay close and continue with that sort of culture and that uniqueness, I think is quite important. I think as you get busier, you don't see each other as much, you don't communicate as much. It's like a marriage.
Mm.
You know, when my wife and I had our little one, you don't communicate the same way you used to.
Sure.
Mm.
When the child wasn't around, so. As life becomes busy, you just got to make sure that you communicate.
Mm, okay.
So we're talking about what running has taught you about running a business.
Yes.
That's very interesting.
Yes.
Are you going to walk us through a couple of things that were similar in running the sport mm-hmm. and running a business?
Yeah. So I didn't do any exercise after school, disclaimer.
okay.
I like that.
So you've just undermined yourself. Maybe not. Let's see what happens.
Come on, Jacques. Yeah.
So, which I think is true for many people.
Yeah.
I think that the average person, you know, leaves school, they go to university, they put on what's called student weight because food's so expensive. So you buy all the cheap stuff and you put on a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And then you try and find a job and then life begins and you forget the sort of extramural stuff. I think that happens to a lot of people, and it really happened to me. So I found myself 10 years after school as unfit as ever, putting on weight, walking upstairs and feeling horrible about myself.
Yeah.
So I decided to run. So I went to a park run, and I almost died.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I realized, okay, I can't be entering my 30s and be feeling like this.
Mm.
And it's at that time that we started Flume as well. So I kept on likening what I was doing to starting a business. So starting out running, and you've never done it, or okay, you haven't done it for 10 years, it's awful.
Brutal.
There's no way you're going to like it. It's not fun, you know. You're going to want to give up. And one of the things I kept on saying to myself was, if it was easy, then everyone would be doing it.
Correct.
Sure.
There's a reason why I'm one of three people I see running in winter.
Correct.
At 6 o'clock in the morning. Mm. And there's also a reason why there's so few people that start businesses, because it's not easy. So, yeah, just likening the running journey from everything to the gear you use to entering races to set goals to train for. It's the same with business. You know, set a goal. You want that client. You want them by then. This is the kind of work that, you know, you need to be doing to get there. These are the kinds of people you need to be speaking to introduce you to people who are in those businesses.
Well, let's get specific.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon. Because there are I've read the article that you've produced, and we'll put it up somewhere, so make sure everyone that you're listening will put it up on futureceos.com. You've been specific about a couple of different areas. The first is that you're never too unfit to start.
Exactly.
Mm. Now just talk us through what you mean by that.
Okay. So that's a really good point.
You made it as well, so that's a really good point.
No, I just, you know, points.
Yeah.
And then I tweet them and try and be, you know, cool, I don't know, motivational speaker. Just to take a step back from that, so Vega asked me to speak at their graduation this year, and I thought to myself, what on earth am I going to tell people who are entering the world, you know, going to look for jobs? And I thought, well, best place to start is my story, and that's
correct.
Exactly how this whole unfit thing came about, because my schooling career was always your average. Every teacher would say on a report, you can do better.
Sure.
My sister was 2 years ahead of me at school, and you know, she was this glory student, and the teachers would then see me 2 years later and be like, you're not very much like your sister.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
You know, and so school, growing up, you're average, you're not really going to achieve anything. So, which means I was unfit, if you can equate it to that. Worked in business, there was always someone who was the superstar in the office.
Sure.
And that wasn't me.
Mm.
You know, so I was unfit. So if you want to look at yourself being able to achieve stuff, and you look at, you know, the average person looks around and goes, well, I'm clearly not good enough. But the thing is, you are never too unfit to start. You're never too unfit to put on those shoes and start running.
And the point of starting is everything. So we're not talking about running 100 kilometers. We're not talking about doing a marathon. We're not talking about doing a half marathon, or maybe even just running around the block. We're talking about starting.
Starting.
Starting. That's the point
you're making. Everyone can put on shoes.
Yeah.
Everyone can find a t-shirt and some whatever you want to run in.
Yeah.
Daredevil, Speedo, I don't know. everyone can start. And it's just getting yourself on the journey that actually matters.
Same applies to business.
Exactly. Just start the business. Just get it going.
Running with partners.
Yes. So important. So, and I know people will challenge me and say, but what about Steve Jobs? And, you know, there's these iconic entrepreneurs that don't really look like they wanted partners, but they still made it.
Yep.
I firmly believe that every single person does need somebody to help them along the way. You cannot do it all by yourself. It's just impossible. Whether it's a person in your business, whether it's just someone that you speak to along the way, whether it's a mentor, whether it's whoever, running with a partner pushes you. It motivates you. It's someone running alongside you. You can't get up the hill, and they say, no, you can. And they speak to you. And if you can't get up the hill, they wait for you. That's also important.
What's so important about what you're saying here is Irfan Pardesi. He is the founder of ACM Gold, which is now it's worth 3 billion rand. So we listen to what he says, and he came and he parked out here with a Lamborghini, so we really listen to what he says. but he said this. He asked me a question once about something that I was talking to him about and involved in. He said, do you have a business partner? And I said, no. He said, you're going to fail. And I'm like, okay, listen, pal, who are you? But I mean, of course, he 3 billion rand, drives a Lamborghini, so you must listen. But his point over and over again is that you must have someone in it with you. Mm. You must have someone that is going to get up the hill and wait, that's going to wait for you, or the other way around. Sometimes you have to do a bit of pulling. I think that's what I hear you saying here.
Definitely. So you always play different roles. Where one of you is weak, then the other one can pull the other one along. And again, I know I keep on saying a marriage.
Yeah,
it is exactly like a marriage.
Like you and me.
Or a
Gareth Armstrong.
Except we're not married.
But future CEO style.
Yes, exactly. we'll say it that way.
Next point.
I just want to just go back very, very quickly to your business then, Flume. Hmm. You started it at a particular point. Were you unfit at that point? Or how did you feel about what you were doing? Let's talk about this, the beginnings of there, and then let's pull it back into what we're talking about here.
Cool. So I think that when you start a business, you don't really know what you're in for.
Okay.
Okay. Like you can kind of plan.
Sure.
Business planning is like, for me, is it's hypothetical. It's not
yeah,
really,
and you read a couple of books, you see some articles. People say it's a challenge, but yeah, do you really know?
Exactly. Do you really know? And that's exactly how we started Flume, is to say we felt like we could do it because of our skill. But you don't really know until you start. So, you know, having a look at starting with something to say, you know, I've got the skill of, you know, I've been in advertising and, you know, we can kind of use that. And Ruan understands numbers and, you know, maybe online media buying is something that's a match there for the budgeting side of things. Start with something that you know you can do and kick it off from there. I don't know if you guys have heard of the MVP. The lean entrepreneur.
Yeah, minimum viable product.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Start there.
Yeah.
And just start and get it going.
And I just mean, go.
The services we provide now are not the services we provided on day one.
That's a very good point. There's an evolution to everything.
Exactly.
Okay, very nice.
Yeah.
Running with partners, we've done Running Gear. Have we spoken about that?
Yes, Running Gear. So this is a big thing that I learned is my wife bought me some running shoes in the December before we started Flume and started running, started getting into this thing, and after 3 months was like, I'm really hurting myself. What's going on here?
Okay.
Getting shin splints, sucks. Went to go see someone professional about it, and they checked my running style and said, no, actually, you pronate, you got the wrong shoes, these are the shoes you need. And I was like, but that's expensive. Yeah, but it's going to help you.
Mm.
So... But what do you say? Bit the bullet.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Is it the past tense of bite?
yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
I bited the bullet. No, bit the bullet. Bought the shoes and it changed my life.
Yeah.
Didn't hurt again. Started training properly, which just shows you that
in business
exactly, you got to get the right tools. You got to get the right tools. Sometimes it hurts for that initial outlay. I mean, look at Cliff Central. Okay, I'm sure it hurt to buy all this equipment, but you got the right stuff, and now you're not feeling the pain.
Sure.
Right? So I think that often businesses, they try and skimp. Well, how much can we really spend on a website? And how much can we really spend on that PA? And how much can we spend the money? You pay for what you get at the end of the day.
This reminds me of was it Gil or Run? One of the co-founders or co-CEOs of the Creative Council, this at the LeaderX event that we were at, and they spoke about this. They said, do not waste time with B or C people. Mm-mm. Specifically. Mm. I think they were talking about get the best, pay for the best, because in the long run, it really does benefit you.
Absolutely.
I guess the other side of it is that if you... there are a lot of people that are going to be running who just buy the gear to look cool. You know? and sometimes it's just about exactly. looking cool. But if you really are taking what you're doing seriously, whether it's starting a business or running, get the right gear so you can perform at your optimum level. And different people will perform at different levels. But very, very good point. I really like that. Which really leads us into our next, which is to try to beat your best. So we're talking about an optimum level.
Yes.
Well, we can always push that, can't we? So how do we then do that? How have you seen it happening in or at Flume where you beat your best? You didn't think it could get better, but you just did it.
Yeah. So, there are a lot of people that say, I just want to be fit. And I just want to, I just want to run with my Beats and my iPod and my Nike shoes that look cool. And that's all I want.
Mm.
So like, okay, cool. So you don't want to become better. I'm not interested in that. And there are businesses like that, and that's cool. The business has been like around that. For 20 years, and there's still 5 people, and that's cool. Mm. That's what they do. That's their niche, and thumbs up. There are some businesses that want to be built to grow,
absolutely,
to grow bigger, and probably one day sell those businesses. Mm. And I think that's where you gotta be able to beat your best every single time. So on my running journey, it's about getting the gear to time yourself. So get a watch, whatever it is. Do the same loop, but do it again and again and again. The same loop. Mm. It's boring. Same scenery, but do it again and again and keep on trying to beat your best. It means we built a website, or we wrote this copy, but write it again and write it again and write it again until you keep on bettering what you're doing. That creative we've just created for the client. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again.
Yeah, look at it from this angle. Exactly. Get from this angle, and let's see what we can evolve or mutate this thing into, which is going to be even better than what you did before.
Exactly. Your client service process, maybe, or your briefing process, or whatever it is, do it again and do it again and go around that loop, you know, time over time. Try and beat your best every single time.
So let's bring this back into the real world. You must have one or two stories that you can share with us, perhaps in this area, but let's just go a little bit onto the failure side. You will have failed a number of times. You must fail a number of times as you are starting something out. Just talk us through one or two of those, and then let's relate it back in here.
Cool. So I think that...
Without mentioning too many brands, or... Unless you want to slam someone, go for it.
You know, this brand that just... No.
Yeah.
No, we won't do that. There are some clients that we've worked with where we failed in that we have overpromised and underdelivered horribly. Mm. But that's our fault.
Mm.
And also because we didn't actually really know what we were doing.
Tell us the story. We need the story.
Cool. So... We built a website for a business. I think some people will know who it is. They hold concerts there.
Okay.
Wow, shock. Yeah.
And this was about 3 months into Flume. So we were like, yeah, we're going to do this thing. But we didn't have developers. We didn't have relationships with developers. We didn't know who to speak to. So we just kind of made stuff up as we went, you know, and got a hold of someone that, you know, put us in touch with a developer, one-man show, and started creating this website. And he just went AWOL, went missing. I mean, I couldn't get a hold of this guy for a month.
Wow.
And clients like, what's going on? We don't know what's going on. And the advertising we originally ran wasn't working out. It wasn't delivering what we proposed to them. Because we just didn't know stuff, you know. So it's also about just being honest and truthful with a client. We're now at the point where we just say, you know what? That's not something we're good at.
I know.
And if we're going to do that, we're going to pull someone else in.
Yeah. Okay.
Just being honest. Because, you know, we're not good at that.
Okay.
So then pulling that into, I guess, the story of running is, you know you've got an injury, but you're too ambitious.
Nice. Very nice.
So you go out and you run, you just hurt yourself. Mm. You're like, I phoned my wife once or twice. Please come pick me up. I can't make it home, you know. And then she brings around the car and picks me up. Because you really shouldn't have gone out to run, and you knew it.
Mm, very, very nice.
Yeah. I like that.
I like pulling it back to the trying while you're injured, and you just know you shouldn't.
Mm.
Very nice.
A lot.
Phoebe?
Setting milestones.
Yes. So
book races, setting milestones.
Yes. So the only way you're gonna get to milestones is if you actually book races in running. So my goal for this year is to run a half marathon every month.
Mm.
So I ran the Disc M in Jan, and I ran the Pretoria Marathon last weekend.
Very nice.
But the thing is, I'm trying to get to be able to run a half marathon at under 2 hours. So I missed out on this last weekend with 4 minutes.
Okay.
I was a bit bummed.
You can do it.
But hopefully I get into the Two Oceans. I'm going to ask the client, please give me a ticket because I couldn't get one. So hopefully I can do it at the Two Oceans or, you know, one ahead. But I can never set myself those milestones to say I want to run a half marathon, or by the end of the year I'm going to run Soweto full marathon, the 42, but I want to run the Comrades next year.
Mm.
You know, you got to – and I'm never going to run the Comrades until I enter the race. Mm.
But what I like about this is you're saying book, and what I'm hearing is book in advance.
Yeah.
So then you've spent the money. You're committed, now you just have to produce. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. So once you've booked that race, you spent the money, you're in it. I mean, and you're the idiot if you pull out. You make yourself feel bad. Mm. You're not harming anyone else,
sure,
but you're harming yourself, you know.
Yeah, it's probably worthwhile to take that your ticket or your confirmation and tweet it everywhere. Make yourself accountable to the people around you.
Everyone knows.
Yeah, everyone knows. Yeah. And then how does that relate to business? Well, I mean, get out there. Put your stuff out there.
Put yourself out there.
Exactly. And become accountable for what you're doing.
Definitely.
Exactly. Commit. I really, really like
it. You have to commit. You never commit until you actually do it.
We are running a little short on time. We've got a couple more minutes. Let's move through one or two more points. Phoebe, what else do you want to touch on?
Discipline, focus.
Yes. Okay.
I like that.
So generally entrepreneurs, when they want to start a business, they start a business because they see their own way of doing something.
Mm.
And they don't want to be told how to do something.
Well, isn't this just what we were talking about with Dr. DeMartini just before this? Just how we project and we... What were some of the words he used? Anyway, we project things onto people instead of listening very carefully to the client. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's cool. So generally the reason why we'll start our own business is because we have our own way of wanting to do it.
Mm.
And we're not liking the way that the current boss is doing it.
Okay, I see. I see where you're going with it.
So we're generally a little bit, we're maverick, we're rule benders, we're a little
renegades.
We're renegades, we're rebellious.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When I run this business, I'm going to do it like this.
I'm going to tell
my employees that when they're sick, they can go home.
And stay for two weeks.
Ask me that now.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do it differently. But which means that naturally there's a little, maybe a lack of discipline that comes with that sort of attitude. I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes. So there does need to be that discipline to say, I know I'm trying to do this differently, but discipline after, you know, at the end of the day is what helps us reach our goals. So when you run, you've got to be disciplined. It's cold. I don't want to get up, but you get up and you do it. Have you guys seen that video? It's called The Grind on YouTube.
We may have.
Amazing.
I mean, there's a couple of those. But is it the kind where there's boxes and
it's like
people doing
welcome
push-ups
to the grind.
Yeah.
You don't want to wake up, your muscles hurt, but you get out anyway. And
then someone's running in the dark by themselves, as you just mentioned
exactly.
earlier. Yes,
that's
yes,
exactly
nice.
It. Discipline to get up and do it.
I wonder to what extent... and you highlighted this right in the beginning, and let's pull this back again to Flume, one last point from you before we have to wrap the show up. So I wonder to what extent there really is a misunderstanding of the realities of this, of the fact that you do have to wake up early in the morning, you do have to make sacrifices. You, as a entrepreneur, as a startup, you are going to be working a 20-hour day.
Mm.
It's not rainbows and butterflies and Lamborghinis right in the beginning.
No.
Yes, maybe later on. Certainly.
But
again,
not even a guaranteed later on.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as you're providing the right kind of service and you're listening carefully, again, as Dr. DeMartini and yourself, Jacques, you've shared. Just talk us through that last, as a final talking point. The disconnect between what you thought was going to happen and what really happened and how you're dealing with that. Let's end on that point.
Yeah. So I think that's a very good point because it's not as glamorous as what it looks like.
Mm.
You know, people say, oh, you own your own business. That's so cool. And you're like, yeah. Yeah, it is. But it's...
I like the tone. Yeah.
It is, but, it's not as glamorous as what it looks from the outside. Of course we have fun. Of course it's amazing. Of course we wouldn't be doing anything else.
Mm.
But there are those situations when only you can sort something out.
Mm.
You know, a client is now at the end of their tether. It's down to you. It's not your employees that need to sort out. You got to step in and sort it out.
Have you eaten lots of baked beans?
No.
Oh, okay. So you don't know.
Bad.
Okay, not that bad. Okay, good.
You know, things like you're the one that needs to sign surety on stuff.
Mm.
No one else is going to do that.
Mm.
You're the one that needs to put in the hours beyond the work to try and fix a process, to try and imagine a new service you can deliver, to try and figure out, something beyond the business, you know.
Well, Luby, it's been a great hour here together, both... Dr. John DeMartini. He was inspirational and insightful and full of wisdom and guidance as per usual. Jacques the Brain, founder and managing director of Flume.
Flume.
No.
I knew you were going to bring it. It's going to come back. It's come back to haunt me. Thanks, Jacques.
Guys, it's a marketing technique. That's what it is. We just made a mistake.
That's memorable.
Yeah, exactly. It's a marketing technique. But guys, thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing
your
wisdom.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And to all of those who are listening, go get the podcasts. They're available at cliffcentral.com or alternatively also future-ceos.com. Luby?
If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Everyone would be doing it. All right, guys, we'll see you same time, same place next week. Have a great rest of your week and get out there and do your thing.
This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.